Father, we thank you for your word today. We open our hearts to receive your word, and we thank you, Father, that your word will produce fruit in our lives today. We thank you, Lord, that through your word that we are encouraged. Lord, you said through the encouragement and the comfort of the scriptures, we might have hope. And so I thank you that your word will encourage us today, your word will comfort us today, and your word will give us hope today. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. And everyone that agreed said,
amen,
amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. We're going to start in Luke chapter 8 this morning. Luke chapter 8, and I'm going to be reading as Jesus explains the parable of the sower. We're not going to read the whole parable. We're just going to go jump straight to Jesus' explanation of the parable. Verse 11 of Luke 8. Now, the parable is this. The seed is the Word of God. What is the seed? The Word of God. Jesus makes it very plain. Those by the wayside are the ones who hear. Then the devil comes and takes away the word out of their hearts. Remember in the parable, it was like the birds of the air came and ate the seed up, okay? So those by the wayside are the ones who hear. Then the devil comes and takes away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. So they're kind of not paying attention. They're just kind of going along and somehow they hear or overhear the word of God. And before it has a chance to get into their heart for them to believe, the devil comes and takes that word immediately so they can't believe and be saved. Because in order to be saved, you have to believe, right? Yes. Verse 13, but the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear, receive the word with joy. And these have no root, who believe for a while. How long did they believe? For just a while. They didn't continue to believe. They believed for a while. And in time of temptation, fall away. Now the ones that fell among thorns are those who, when they have heard, go out and are choked with cares, riches, and pleasures of life, and bring no fruit to maturity. But the ones that fell on the good ground are those who, having heard the word with a noble and good heart, keep it and bear fruit with patience. And so again, Jesus tells us here, the seed is the word of God, and the ground that the seed has fallen upon or fallen into or is planted into or sown into, the ground represents four conditions of the human heart, or four types of people, we could say. And we're not going to take, this is not a discourse on the entire parable here, so I'm not going to focus on each one. I want to jump to the second one. The second one mentioned is a person or a heart which is like rocky ground. So this is like seed sown on rocky ground. There's some soil on top, but underneath is just rocks. And you know, if you try to have a garden, you can't do much if there's a lot of rocks in there. The soil may look good, but if you start digging it up and you go, you know, 3 inches deep and you run into rocks, you're thinking, wait a minute, this isn't going to work. You've got to get those rocks out. Amen. So there's rocks. And so as a result, the plants spring up, but because the rocks are there, those plants can't put down the roots that they need to in order to draw nourishment and moisture from the ground. And therefore, they come up, and they're great, and they look good for a few days, but then when the heat comes, then they wither, and there's no fruit produced. So the correlation spiritually is someone who hears the Word of God, and they receive it with joy. Oh, praise God. Yeah, I'm excited about it. And they believe, but they only believe for a while. And in the time of temptation or the time of testing, it says they fall away. Or we could say they stop believing. Or we could say they let go of their faith. They have faith, all right, but they let go of that faith, all right? And because there's no root system there. There's no depth there. And then finally, the last one that Jesus mentions, that's the good ground. These are people who hear the word, and it says they keep it, and they bear fruit with patience. If a plant's going to bear fruit, there's going to be some patience involved, right? You know, some of you probably had tomato plant. You may have some that are still bearing. But you had tomato plants. Well, when that tomato plant first started growing, and, you know, you didn't go out the next day after it started growing and find any tomatoes, did you? Yeah, you know, after a few weeks and you finally see these green little green nubs out there, we've got tomatoes. And but they're still not ready to eat, are they? No, it takes patience. They grow bigger and bigger, and then they start turning from green to red. And then when they, you know, get red, if you can keep the deer out of them, and then you're going to have some tomatoes to eat, right? Amen. Thank God for the deer. They're beautiful, though, aren't they? All right. But let's look at it. So it takes patience, is my point. The Message Bible of Luke 8:15 says this: "But the seed in the good earth, these are the good hearts who seize the word and hold on no matter what." They hold on no matter what, sticking with it until there's a harvest. That's what I want to talk about this morning. I want us to talk. I want us to hear holding on to the word no matter what and sticking with it until there's a harvest. I want to encourage, in fact, the title today is "Don't Let Go." Don't let go. Hallelujah. This is the attitude that we have to have in order to receive the promises of God and the things that we're believing for. We have to hold on no matter what. And we have to stick with it until there's a harvest. Galatians 6:9, and also in the Message, says, "So let us not allow ourselves to get fatigued doing good. At the right time, we will harvest a good crop if we don't give up or quit." Amen. And we see that happen often. I've seen it many times through the years. And I've done it myself. I've been guilty of it myself. Where folks start out believing God, but then for various reasons or various things that happen, and it's a wide variety of things, they let go of their faith. They let go of their dream. For whatever reason, they stop believing. The pressure gets too great. Maybe they've gone a long time and they've not seen any change in their condition. Maybe they've gone a long time and they've not seen a change in that situation they're believing God for. And so they let go of it. And so they give up. And they let that dream die. And they give up on it. They receive the word of God. They receive the promise of God with joy, but then difficulties come, they get discouraged, and they let go of what they were believing God for. They believed only for a while. Believing for a while, beloved, won't produce results. Believing for a while won't produce results. Try. Well, I think I'll try that. I heard someone talk about doing that. I think I'll try. Trying it won't work. You have to do it. You know, James didn't write and say, "Be triers of the word." He said, "Be doers of the word." Amen? I want to look at this parable from the perspective that Mark gives us. Mark also records this parable of the sower. And he's talking about these same people that we're dealing with here from what we read in Luke. In Mark 4:16, he says, "These likewise are the ones sown on stony ground, who, when they hear the word, immediately receive it with gladness, and they have no root in themselves, and so endure only for a time. Afterward, when tribulation," that means trouble, "or persecution arises," why does it arise? "For the word's sake." For the word's sake. So, now who's coming to steal the word? Jesus already told us in this parable that who's coming to steal the word, and that's the devil. And it's interesting, he says in the plain parable, he says the fowls of the air come. And Satan is known as the prince of the power of the air. I'm not saying every bird is evil. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying here. But the fowls of the air came and ate up the seed, and he said, when he explained it, he said, the devil comes immediately to steal the word, to take the word. Well, here it's the same devil, and he's coming. He's after the word. Why? Because he knows he's got more faith in the Word than most of us do. He knows that if the Word of God gets down into our hearts and we believe it and we hold on to it, it's going to produce a harvest and it's going to change our lives and it's going to end the devil's work in our life. Amen. Amen. He won't be able to handle us. He won't be able to keep us down. He won't be able to afflict us anymore when we get the Word of God working in our hearts. So he comes to steal the Word. He comes for the Word's sake. And he uses persecution as one thing that he uses. He uses people coming against you. People saying, oh, you shouldn't believe that. Oh, you shouldn't, you know, you shouldn't get out there with those crazy people that believe the Bible. Amen. And it's and I tell you, to be honest with you, our society is turning, sadly, more and more that way. You're an oddity if you believe the Bible. Well, I'm going to keep believing the Bible.
Amen.
Amen. Because I'm standing with truth. I'm standing with God when I believe His Word. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. And trouble comes. He brings all kinds of things. He brings things against you. He brings attacks against you. All and His whole motivation, His whole purpose is to try to get you to let go of the Word. Well, that ought to tell us something right there. That we're over the target. When we get a hold of the Word, we're over the target. Amen. So what should we do? Hold on to it. Amen. Are you going to let the devil take the Word from you? Are you going to quit believing and let go when pressure comes, when trouble comes, when disappointment, discouragement comes? Are you going to say, oh, well, I tried that and it didn't work for me? Are you going to let the devil win?
No.
Don't let him win in your life.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Hebrews 6, verse 11 says, and we desire that each one of you, that'd be everybody in here, wouldn't it?
Amen.
Amen. So God desires, the writer of Hebrews, well, we know the Holy Spirit inspired. So the Holy Spirit desires, so that would mean God desires. God, the Holy Spirit, desires that each one of us show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope. How far? Until the end, until the completion of it, until the fulfillment of it. That you do not become sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. So with faith and patience, we inherit the promises. Just faith won't inherit the promises, but faith and patience will inherit the promises. Amen.
Amen?
Again, the Message Bible says, be like those who stay the course with committed faith and then get everything promised to them.
Amen.
God wants you to get everything He promised to you.
Amen.
And everything that Jesus died to purchase for you. Hallelujah. And if we will stay the course with committed faith, then we'll get everything promised to us.
Amen.
Amen. And then he goes on in verse 13. We're back in the New King James now. For when God made a promise to Abraham, so he uses Abraham as an example. When God made a promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no one greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely, blessing, I will bless you, and multiplying, I will multiply you. And so, after he, Abraham, had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. He didn't obtain the promise until after he had patiently endured. So let's go back and look at that. Let's go back and look at this process that Abraham went through. So when we go back, we first find that God first spoke to Abraham. It's recorded in Genesis chapter 12. And we know that Abraham was 75 years old then, and he promised to bless him. He said that he would be a blessing, and he said, in you all the families of the earth will be blessed. You can read that in the first few verses of Genesis 12. And then when he obeyed God and he came to the land of Canaan, God promised him there. He said, I'm going to give you all this land, the land of Canaan. And so those were the promises that God made to him. And then we see in Genesis 15, as we go forward, we see God speaking to him again. And we'll read some of these verses here in Genesis 15. In verse 1, it says, after these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram. He was known just as Abram at that time, in a vision, saying, do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your exceedingly great reward. But Abram said, Lord God, what will you give me, seeing I go childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus? Abram and Sarai at the time were their names. They had no children, and they were getting on up in years. He's 75 when God first spoke to him. This is a few years later. And so the only heir he has is his servant, Eliezer. Verse 3, then Abram said, look, you've given me no offspring. Indeed, one born in my house is my heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him saying, this one shall not be your heir, but one who will come from your own body shall be your heir. Then he, God, brought him, Abram, outside and said, look now toward heaven and count the stars if you're able to number them. And they, you know, there was no shopping malls back then. And there was no, therefore, there was no light pollution. There was no subdivisions, you know, with all the street lights every third house. It was dark. And because it was so dark, then you could see all the stars. We only see just a few of them now because of all the light pollution. He could see a lot of them back then. He says, count the stars if you're able to number them. And he said to him, so shall your descendants be. Look at verse 6. And he believed in the Lord. He believed what God said to him. He believed what God promised him. And God accounted it to him for righteousness. And so Abram believed God. God said, I'm counting you righteous, to tie into what we've been talking about the last few weeks. So he gives him a promise of his descendants as numerous as the stars in the heavens. All right. And so he said, and with that promise, he said, one who will come from your own body should be your heir. And so Sarai then, based on that part of a promise that God had spoken, didn't have the complete word yet, but based on that, Sarai says, I've got an idea. Here's my maidservant Hagar. Why, Abram, why don't you go into Hagar, you know, get together with her, and let's see if we can make this promise come to pass. How many of you know that was a big, big mistake? Big mistake. All the way around. So what's the point of this? Men, never, ever listen to your wives. No. All right, I just had to throw that out there because that came from all listen to Sarah. And then after he did it, they had a child, and Sarah got mad at Abram and said, why'd you do that? Hallelujah. You didn't know we were going to have a marriage seminar this morning, did you? All right. So I may have blown my chances of everybody coming up to me after service and say, Pastor, we appreciate you and love you. All the guys will. Yeah, all the men will. Okay. All right. So we know how that turned out. Ishmael was born, and Abraham was 86 at the time that Ishmael was born. 13 years later. So God first speaks to him at 75 and starts revealing his plan and starts giving him a promise. Then years later, now 99, now it's 24 years later, and they've got Ishmael in the picture here. And so God speaks to him again. Verse 4, so need to throw this point in there too. You know, sometimes when God gives us a promise, we try to make it come to pass. That's not our job. We'll create Ishmaels, you know, if we do that. So let God bring it to pass. Amen. So verse 4 of Genesis 17, as for me, God says, behold, my covenant is with you, and you shall be a father of many nations. No longer shall your name be called Abram, but your name shall be Abraham, for I have made you a father of many nations. And in the book of Romans, when Paul is writing about this, he references this and he makes this statement. He says, God, who gives life to the dead and calls those things that be not as though they were. Amen. Abram was not the father of many nations, but God said, I'm going to start calling you that. And I want you to start calling yourself that. Amen? Amen? And so he does. And so he says, I've made you a father of many nations. And then we skip down to verse 15. Then God said to Abram, as for Sarai, your wife, you shall not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name. And I will bless her, and also give you a son by her. Then I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of people shall come from her." Now again, how old is Abraham when God speaks to him here? 99. He's 99. Sarah's 90. And not only is she 90, but she's not ever been able to have children. And God says, "I'm going to give you a child from Sarah, from her body." And look at this man of faith. Look at how Abraham responds with such great faith. Verse 17. "Then Abraham fell on his face and laughed." The reason that's important is there's hope for us, folks. We think we see ourselves as way down here in faith, and Abraham is way up there. But he was a man just like us. And he had to grow in faith. There's hope for you and me. Thank God. He laughed. And he said in his heart, "Shall a child be born to a man who is 100 years old? And shall Sarah, who is..." Let me find my place here on my paper. "And Sarah, who is 90 years old, bear a child?" And Abraham said to God, "Oh, that Ishmael might live before you." In other words, hey, look, we already got somebody in place here. Let's just stick with that, God. God said, "No, that's not what I'm doing with you. Don't take a second best as a fulfillment of God's promise." Yes. You know, I'm believing God for complete healing. Well, you know, I'm 75% well. Well, that's Ishmael. Amen. Well, I'm believing God to be debt free. Well, I'm debt free except for my mortgage. Well, that's an Ishmael. Hello? Did you get that? Amen. That's not what God's promised. That's not what God said. All right. So he said, let Ishmael live before you. Then verse 19, then God said, "No, Sarah, your wife, shall bear you a son, and you shall call his name Isaac. I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant and with his descendants after him." Praise God. So again, Abraham is not into this at all. It's too much for him. He laughs to begin with. He said, "Let's just let Ishmael live. Let's not worry. That's too big." And yet, Abraham is known throughout the Bible, and especially throughout the New Covenant. He's the father. He's the Bible says in the epistles in Romans and Galatians, he's the father of us all. He's the father of us in faith, who have faith in Christ. He's our example and our father. But he became a great man of faith. Amen. Hallelujah. He decided to stay with God. He decided to stick with what God had said and hold on to it. And his faith kept growing. And that's what you and I need to do. Even though it may seem impossible, even though it may seem laughable, if you'll just stick with that promise of God and keep feeding on it and keep holding on to it and keep believing it, you'll grow in faith until you can receive it. Hallelujah. Let's look at what it does say about him in the New Testament here. In Romans 4, verse 18, who contrary to hope, and JJ, you can come on back up if you would, who contrary to hope, in hope, believed so that he became the father of many nations according to what was spoken, so shall your descendants be. What was spoken by God, the promise of God was, you're going to be the father of many nations, so shall your descendants be as the stars of the heavens. And then also he spoke to him another time as the sand, the grains of sand on the sea. In other words, you're going to have a lot of kids. Well, physically through the nation of Israel and spiritually through the body of Christ, Abraham has descendants as the stars of heaven and as the sand of the sea. Amen. Hallelujah. God brought it to pass. God fulfilled it. Amen. Praise God. So notice what happens here. Abraham, it says, contrary to hope. It says all natural hope, all natural reason said this is impossible, this can't happen. But contrary to hope, he did what? In hope, he believed so that he became. He hoped, he believed, and he became. And if you will hope, have an expectation from God through his word and his promise, and if you'll believe, and if you'll hold on to that, guess what? You will become. You'll become what? Well, he became the father of many nations according to what was spoken. In other words, he became according to what God had spoken. And do you know that you can become what God has spoken and promised in His Word to you. If you need healing, God has promised healing and health, and you can become according to what's spoken and promised. Whatever your situation, whatever promise that you have from God, and there God has promises to cover every area of our lives. And you can find that promise, those promises, and you can lay hold of those promises, and you can become those promises. Your life can become that, where it's not just a promise on a page, but you become that. If we'll follow this progression, hope and believe and become. And here's how He did it in verse 19. He says, and not being weak in faith, He did not consider His own body. His own body said, you can't have a child. And He looked at Sarah's body and said, she can't have a child. He did not consider His own body. Didn't look at that. Already dead since He was about 100 years old. And the deadness went dead in terms of being able to reproduce and to have children. And he still was in good shape, but he just was past the age of childbearing, dead from that sense. His body already dead since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. He did not consider that, the Bible says. But what did he do? It says in verse 20, he did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God and being fully convinced that what God had promised, God was able to perform. They finally got the message after Ishmael, we're not the ones to bring this to pass. Our job is just to believe. Your job is just to believe the promise and to hold on to it and not let the devil talk you out of it and not let the devil pressure you into letting go of that promise. Amen? So he didn't consider the circumstances. He held on unwaveringly to the promise of God, and his faith got stronger. He gave glory to God, and he became fully convinced. And that's what we have to do. We have to become fully convinced that what God has promised, God's able to perform. Amen? In Hebrews 10:35, he says, therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward. For you have need of, next verse, you have need of what? What do we have need of? We've got faith. We heard the word. We heard the promise, and faith came when we received it. But what we have need of is endurance, so that after you've done the will of God, you may receive the promise. Amen? We need to have, as Reverend Charlie White put it, no quitting sense. No quitting sense. Turn to your neighbor and in your best down-home accent say, I ain't got no quitting sense. You know what that means? That means you don't have sense enough to quit when it comes to believing God, when it comes to holding on to the promise of God, when it comes to holding on to the dream that God's given you and seeing it come to pass. Turn to Him again and say, I ain't got no quitting sense. Hallelujah. Amen. 2 Samuel 23. Here's our last verse. 2 Samuel 23. It says, these are the names of the mighty men. I want to talk to you about one of David's mighty men here in this verse. These are the names of the mighty men whom David had. Josheb-Bashebeth, the Tachmonite, chief among the captains. He was called Adino the Esnite. Well, you would change your name to Adino too if your name was Josheb-Bashebeth. People couldn't say his name. He said, just forget it. Just call me Adino. All right? He was called Adino the Esnite because he had killed 800 men at one time. Pretty impressive. And after him, here's the one we want to look at. And after him was Eleazar, the son of Dodo. Who's your daddy? Oh, Dodo's my dad. The Ahoite, one of the three mighty men with David when they defied the Philistines who were gathered there for battle. And the men of Israel had retreated. Everybody else had retreated, but they said, we're not going to retreat. We're going to go forward. We defy you, devil. The Philistines, that's a type of Satan. We defy you. Look what he did. Verse 10. He arose and attacked the Philistines until his hand was weary. He had a sword and his hand stuck to the sword. After he won that battle, he had held on to that sword for so long, fighting the Philistines and defeating the Philistines and standing his ground and not letting go and not quitting, that when he got through and the last Philistine was dead, he was like his hand was stuck to the sword and they had to prise his fingers off to get the sword out of his hand. Hallelujah. And the Bible says that the Lord brought about a great victory that day. Hallelujah. Have you been given a sword? Have you been given a sword? We say it's the Bible, and it is, but really, actually, the sword of the Spirit in the book of, and where's it at? Ephesians. In Ephesians 6, the armor of God, the sword of the Spirit, which is the rhema, the spoken word of God. The word of God spoken out of our mouth. We need to hold on to that sword and continue to speak the word of God out of our mouth and speak the promise of God that God has given us until the sword sticks to our hand, or our hand sticks to the sword. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And if we'll do, the Lord will bring about a great victory. The Lord will bring about a great victory. So I want to encourage you today, don't let go of what God has promised you. If you've let go of it, pick it back up. It's still there. The promise is still valid. Abraham, we see, Abraham made lots of mistakes on the way. Abraham was not even in faith to begin with. He laughed when God first promised it to him. You may have wavered, you may have doubted, but pick that promise back up. Go back and say, wait a minute, God, you promised this to me, and I was believing you for this, and all these circumstances came, and discouragement came, and these things came, and I lost heart, and I got discouraged, and I got disillusioned, and I let go. Pick it back up today. Pick it back up. And let God bring it to pass in your life. Let God bring it to pass for you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I want to invite you to do that right now. If there's something if this is spoken to your heart and there's something that you were believing God for, or a dream that you had, and you've kind of let go of it. You've kind of just backed away from it. And today you say, you know, I'm going to pick that back up today. I'm going to get back with God on this and believe God and wrap myself around the promise of God, and I'm going to hold on to it, and I'm going to see God bring it to pass. I'm not going to quit. If that's you, if you have something that maybe you've let go, and it's no shame to say, Abraham did it. I've done it in my life in different situations. I know many of us probably have, but you might be right there today. God sent me to you today to say, don't let go of it. Don't let go of it. So if I'm speaking to you, I want you to stand up right now. And I want to pray for you.